بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. In our previous classes we're reading about the affair of الرياء and السمعة and the dangers of these issues, and that is to show off in actions of worship and to do deeds of the hereafter, hoping for the praise of the people and the position with the people, and turning away from hoping for the face of Allah and seeking the faces of the people, to turn towards oneself while he's acting in an action of worship, whether it's with statement or deed, wanting to be heard with this foul intention, and from the actions of the hereafter. And we have seen also that amazing statement of Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 161. إِنَّ أَكْبَحَ الرَّقْبَةِ أَن تُطْلَبَ الدُّنْيَا بِعَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ بِعَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ That the most disgusting and filthy of all desires and wishes and hopes is that this worldly life is sought by the deeds of the hereafter. Is that this worldly life is sought by the deeds of the hereafter. Alhamdulillah, we have read the evidences that the author, he has mentioned, and some of the benefits the people of knowledge likewise they have mentioned with regards to this affair. And there remains a brief discussion with regards to the rulings related to showing off and wanting to be heard and the effects that this foul intention has on the deed itself. The effects, athurriya, the effects of showing off fil amal in the actions. And the worst of our riya is the riya of al munafiqeen, and that is al riya mahd, it's pure showing off, meaning they display outwardly that they believe and they do not believe, and they show and display outwardly that they are Muslims and they are not Muslims in their heart. Waliyadu billah, and this is the worst of all affairs, pure hypocrisy. And this is from the worst of the affairs, and they will be fi darakil asfari min an-nar. They will be in the lowest levels of the hellfire, waliyadu billah. Pure hypocrisy and showing off, any to be seen entirely without any belief whatsoever. This is the worst of the affair. But what the author he is referring to is the showing off that occurs to a Muslim. That's a major sin, that's lesser than that. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this has an effect on the deed. This has an effect on the action. The person who is showing off, it has effect on his action. And there are rulings based upon that. And there are rulings and regulations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based upon this. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that there are different circumstances. There are different circumstances that showing off can be coupled with the action. And in every circumstance, in every situation, the rulings are different. In every circumstance and every situation, the rulings are different. As for if there is showing off, wanting to be seen, and doing an action of the hereafter and hoping for the reward from the people, hoping for the praise of the people from the very beginning of the action, and it continues until the end of the action, then this deed is invalidated entirely. And there's a consensus about this. An ijma' about this, al-am al-habit, it's completely invalidated. A person, for example, he's praying and he began the prayer showing off from the very beginning, wanting to be seen by somebody, and his heart is attached to that person, hoping to be seen by him, and it continued with him until he finished the prayer. Waliyadu billah, then his prayer is completely invalidated. Completely invalidated. Based upon that, if this was an obligatory prayer, he has to perform it again. He has to perform it again, and he is not free of blame. And the obligation and the requirement of this action of worship is not removed. Is not removed. So this first case is easy, and we're clear to see that the one who began his action of worship, whatever it may be, from the beginning to the end, he began it showing off, and he finished showing off in this manner like this, then his action is invalidated. Then his action is invalidated entirely, And if it was an obligatory action, then that obligation still remains upon him. He must repent. He must repent from the showing off and wanting to be heard, and then he must redo the action again for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. We have the issue now of the one who he began the action, showing off. He began from the very beginning, the act of worship, showing off with this foul intention, showing off with this foul intention from the very beginning of the action of worship. And then after some time while performing the worship, yani he realizes the foul state that he's in and he repents, a'udhu billah, and he wants to be sincere. And now he wants to be sincere. For example, somebody who began the salah, he began the salah showing off, Allahu Akbar, showing off. And then he recited the Fatiha, showing off. Maybe he made the first rak'ah, showing off. For example, in Fajr. And then in the second rak'ah, he gets to, for example, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. And he remembers, how can I do this showing off for these people? And I'm saying, Iyyaka na'budu, you alone do we worship. And here, yani he comes to his senses and he leaves the riyah. And he leaves the riyah. The ruling for this person. Sent. His prayer is still invalid. So what would he have to do?
He
has to stop immediately and start all over. He has to stop immediately and start all over. The prayer is invalid. He can't rectify that. He began showing off from the very beginning. Innama al-amalu bin-niyyat. It has to begin. Begin the prayer based upon sincerity and ikhlas. If he began the prayer based upon sincerity and ikhlas, we'll see the differences. Yani of the situation. The situation we see now, the one who began the prayer, showing off. He began the action, showing off. And in the very beginning, he's showing off. Therefore, he has to begin again. He finished the whole rak'ah. The whole rak'ah that he did showing off is invalidated. It's not accepted. It was not for the sake of Allah. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ أَلَا لِلَّهِ الدِّينُ الْخَالِصِ. And so Allah, he doesn't accept these actions here. So the one that is done from the very beginning, it has to be redone. We know the hadith al-Qudsi of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك فمن عمل عملا أشرك في إيماء غيري تركته وشركة. That I am absolutely in no need of any associate or of any partner. So whoever does a deed and he associates in that deed, a partner along with me, I will leave him and his associate. I will leave him and his associate. Allah, he would not accept it. So therefore, the one who began an action, he began an action like this that has a beginning and the end. And this is with regards to the actions that have a beginning and the end, like salah. Then, and he began it showing off, and then he repented in the middle of that, and he became sincere. It's not sufficient now to finish the prayer sincerity. Rather, he must leave the prayer and start again from the beginning. We understand that? It's clear? Huh? Afwan? It's coming. Ahsant. So this is the first case with regards to the action. That is muttasil, it's connected, it has a beginning and the end. Like for example, the salah. The salah, it has a beginning and an end. It has a beginning and it has an end. There are other actions that do not occur in this manner, rather they come in parts. For example, somebody who has charity, like the brother is indicating. The one who has charity. For example, if he had intended to give $500 charity. He has intended to give $500 in charity, but he has them in $100 bills. So he comes out of his house and he is intending to give $500 in charity. And he sees a poor person, he gives it to him for the sake of Allah. He gives him 100 for the sake of Allah. He sees another one, and he sees another poor person, and he gives him 100 for the sake of Allah. At this time, somebody sees him and praises him. So now he starts having the riyah coming to him. So now the third person, he sees him, he gives him the last 300, all of it for the sake of Allah. All of it now showing off. He gave the first one 100 for the sake of Allah. He gave the second one 100 for the sake of Allah. The people started coming around praising him, and now he turned his attention to those people and he gave the next one 300, all of it together. But now he's showing off. What is the ruling for his sadaqah, $500? The first two is accepted. The first two are accepted. And the last one, which is 300, this one is rejected and it's not accepted. Tayyib. If this was just a non-obligatory charity, then the first two is accepted, alhamdulillah, and the last one is not accepted and is rejected. And he should repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. If it was zakat al-mal, obligatory charity, the first two was accepted, and the last one is rejected, and he has to redo it, an obligation. He still, that 300 to finish off the 500, for example, if he had $500 in zakat to pay, and he paid it in this manner, 100 here, sincerely for the sake of Allah. Another 100 here, sincerely for the sake of Allah. 300 here, showing off. The first 200, it goes for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he has his reward with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. The last 300, it's rejected and it's not accepted. And it's incumbent upon him to give it again. That 300 went in vain with nothing. He has no benefit from that whatsoever. Rather, he has a sin. So he still has $300 in his dhimma. And in the people of knowledge, they call this issue here bara'atu al-dhimma. Al-dhimma, yani the fact that the obligation remains upon him. The obligation still remains upon him. If he fulfilled the obligation, then he's free of that. He's free of blame of that. And that responsibility will be removed. So here the person, he had $500 in his dhimma, and he's responsible. He's held accountable for that. An obligation for him to pay $500 in zakat. Two of it went, and he's freed from that. There's 300 left. There's 300 left because he was not sincere. Do you understand that? So the one that the 300 that he paid showing off, it does not free him of blame, and the obligation remains upon him. So this is the case here. So if the action has a beginning and the end, then if it's done from the beginning into the end, it is invalidated. If it's done from the beginning, and then in the middle he wants to repent, it's not sufficient to repent and finish the deed. Rather, he has to start all over from the beginning. It has to be sincerely for the sake of Allah from the beginning. This is for the type of deeds that have a beginning and an end, like the prayer. As for the example that we have with sadaqah, and he wants to give 500 in sadaqah, but he's going to distribute it in different portions, then whatever portion he gave sincerely for the sake of Allah is for the sake of Allah, and whatever portion he showed off in is for showing off and is not accepted. If the action that he showed off in this manner was obligatory, he has to redo it. And he's not free of blame, and the obligation remains upon him as if he did not even perform the obligation in the first place. The one who prayed and he began showing off, and he finished showing off, or the one who prayed and he began showing off, and then in the middle he was sincere, it's as if he did not pray at all. The legislative ruling for this person's prayer is as if he did not pray at all. Likewise, the one who gave charity, he had $300, he gave that $300 in charity for showing off. Based upon showing off, it's as if he did not even give the $300 legislatively. It doesn't count, it's not considered. If it's an obligation, the responsibility remains. The responsibility remains. So we see the issue here with regards to if it's done from the beginning to the end, or even in the beginning and then in the middle he wants to rectify it. The only way to rectify that is to go back and fix it, yani if it's connected. And if it's not connected, then that which was sincere is for Allah, and that which is showing off is not accepted. If it was an obligation, it must be repeated. We understand the principle. We have an example. Somebody who is going to make Hajj. He's going to make Hajj, and from the very beginning he's showing off. He wants to be seen. He wants to be known as Hajji. And he wants to be known. He's showing off. So from the very beginning, he begins his talbiyah, he's showing off. He makes the ihram, he's showing off. He makes it to Mecca, he makes tawaf, he's showing off. He makes the sa'i, and halfway through the sa'i, he realizes that he's in a foul state. He realizes that he's showing off, and this is not proper, and this is not correct. Here he is in Mecca, the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, showing off and doing deeds for the creation and for the people who are creation like him and are in need of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala like him. And so he wants to repent. What does he do? Make his intention pure from now and finish the the sa'i and the rest of the hajj. What is incumbent upon him now? He has to start all over again. So in this situation, that person, he's going to have to go all the way back to the miqat. He's going to have to go all the way back to the miqat and make ihram again from the miqat. He's going to have to start all over again. Leave Mecca, go back to the miqat, and make ihram from the miqat. If he was not able to do that, then he will make ihram from where he's at, and then he will have to slaughter a sheep, because it's an obligation. Yani it's a pillar to make ihram, and an obligation to make ihram from the miqat. Remember this when we studied the book of Hajj. Obligation, it's a pillar to make ihram, and an obligation to make the ihram from the miqat. If somebody left off a wajib from the Hajj, if he left off a wajib from the Hajj, you have to slaughter an animal. This is the case for him. The point for us now is that he cannot fix that. And his tawaf is finished. His ihram is invalidated. It's no good. It's not accepted. It's rejected. His tawaf, all of that is in vain. And it's falsehood. And it's not accepted. All those walking back and forth that he made, the ashwalt from the sa'i, none of that is accepted. None of that is accepted. So he has to begin again from the beginning. He has to begin again from the beginning. We understand the issue now. This is for the case of who? Showing off where at? From the beginning. The one who shows off from the beginning, then his prayer is invalidated. Now we have the issue of the one who's showing off in the middle of the worship. And he began for the sake of Allah. He began for the sake of Allah, hoping for the reward from Allah. He's sincere. And then during the act of worship, it came to his heart. And during the worship, it came to his heart. The whispers of showing off, yani, were suggested to him. If he repels that, and he does not pay attention to that, and he fights his soul against that, and he does not fall into that, and go along with that, and it does not become his intention, it will not harm him. It will not harm him. If he began sincerely for the sake of Allah, for example, he's praying, and he began sincerely for the sake of Allah, and then somebody he respects and honors comes in and he sees him, and then the suggestion comes to show off, but then he says to himself, and he just keeps on striving to be sincere and to do it for the sake of Allah, and he turns away from the suggestion of showing off, and he does not fall into that, even if the suggestion keeps trying and shaitan continues, but it never became his intention. He never fell into it. He never intended that person. Rather, he disliked that suggestion the whole time, and it never became a niyyah for him. It will not harm him. It will not harm him. When would it harm him? Whenever it becomes his intention. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. That verily the deeds are by way of the intention. So the intention is very important. So here, this person, he's in jihad. This person, shaitan, is trying to seduce him and to lure him and to tempt him, and he fights himself. And he finds this to be disgusting. And he dislikes that, and he turns away from that, and he continues in his worship. It will not harm him. It will not harm him. As for the case for the one who began in the prayer, sincerely for the sake of Allah, and then the suggestions came to show off, whatever the case may be, and he fell into that, and he started showing off in the middle of his worship, and he concluded the worship in that manner, then his worship is invalidated. Then his worship is invalidated. This is the opposite of before. He began sincerely for the sake of Allah, but he ended showing off. This one is rejected entirely. Even if he prayed the whole prayer all the way to the taslim, at the taslim he started showing off. Wa'yadu billah. At the taslim, it came into his heart, he wanted to be seen by somebody, and he made the taslim, hoping for the people. And this manner like this, then everything is invalidated. Because the action, it has to begin for the sake of Allah and end for the sake of Allah. The action has to begin for the sake of Allah and it has to end for the sake of Allah. We understand that? What's the proof for the beginning? إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Naam, and also there's a proof for the ending. That one could encompass the ending, but there's even closer or more direct proof for the ending from the hadith. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. That verily the deeds are based upon the endings. And we ask Allah to give us a good ending. And we ask Allah to give us a good ending from His mercy and from His grace. So this is the issue. If it began good and it ended bad, it's finished. If he began sincerely but it ended showing off, then it's invalidated. It's invalidated. It's invalidated. And if it's an obligation, he has to do it again. If it's an obligation, and his dhimma lam tabra, he still has the obligation to perform that. And it's upon him to perform that, as if he did not perform that. The one who began praying Fajr for the sake of Allah, and he ended praying Fajr showing off, it's as if he did not pray Fajr in the deen of Allah, in the Sharia, in the Shara, in the legislation. We understand that? He's still held accountable for the Fajr of that day. He's still held accountable for the Fajr of that day. This is clear, huh? Taib. So now we have the issue of the one who began sincerely. I need to review quickly. The one who began sincerely, showing off came to him and was suggested to him, and the whispers were brought to his mind, and he did not incline towards it. He did not incline towards it. What's his ruling? What is the effect of showing off on his deed? Nothing. It doesn't affect his deed whatsoever. It doesn't affect his deed whatsoever. It didn't become an intention. So it doesn't affect him. It doesn't affect him. He fights it, he turns away from it, he dislikes it, and the likes like this, and he fights his soul, it doesn't harm him. And Allah knows best. Maybe this could be from also, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, he said, ذَلِكَ سِرِيحُ الْإِيمَانِ. And in some narrations, some of the companions, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, sometimes things will come to our minds that we were too even ashamed to speak about or to say them. They're disgusting and the most foul and evil of ideas and thoughts. Any thoughts of disbelief and thoughts of misguidance or thoughts of hypocrisy and things that whenever they cross their minds, they find them to be detestful and filthy and disgusting, that wouldn't even want to tell anybody about it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Awajadtumu? Did you find it? Oh, you found that?" He said, "Inna dhalika sarihul iman." He said, "This is straight faith. This is pure faith, direct faith." What does that mean?
Very good.
This is sarih, yani straight up, straight direct, yani pure, pure faith. Where's the pure faith at? I know. In this narration, how do we understand? The fact that they disliked that, they found these ideas coming to their heart, coming to their mind, and whenever they heard that, they said, "Oh, this is disgusting." They detested it, and they hated it, and they would not even want anybody to know that crossed their mind, and they were ashamed to even say it. How foul that these ideas may be. So the fact that they found them to be disgusting, and the fact that they found them to be filthy, and that they disliked them in this manner, this is pure faith. It's the faith, it's the iman that caused them to dislike that. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. It is Allah who has made the faith beloved to you, and He has adorned it and decorated it in your hearts, and He has made disbelief and sin and disobedience detestful to you. This is a favor from Allah. These people, they're upright and guided. These are the upright and guided people. يعني هو عليكم الراشدون. So والله أعلم, Allah knows best. The person who, when whispering of showing off comes to him, and he detests it, and he seeks refuge with Allah from that, then this is from his sincere faith, and he will strive against that, and it will not harm him, and it will not harm him بإذن الله تعالى. As for the one, we have seen that he's sincere, and then showing off comes, and then he's overcome by that until he finishes the prayer or finishes the worship in that manner. What's the ruling for his worship? It's invalidated. Taib, we have the third situation. He began sincerely for the sake of Allah. And for example, in prayer, so it's easy to understand. He began sincerely for the sake of Allah. During the prayer, sometime during the prayer, he starts showing off. For example, we'll say in the first rak'ah, he made the whole first rak'ah for the sake of Allah. And then after that, he stood up and he began showing off. He recited the Fatiha and he's showing off. And then he recited another surah and he's showing off. And then whenever he gets into ruku' and that humble position, it comes to him and he realizes. A'udhu billah, astaghfirullah. And he checks himself. And he purifies his intention and he leaves the showing off. And he completes the rest of the prayer for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. What's the ruling for this one?
You have to make
up
one
rak'ah. Allahu Akbar. We're getting details now. I did it. Allahu alam, inshaAllah, his prayer is good. This person here, his prayer is good. Inshallah, his prayer is good. هذه شبهة. Maybe. I didn't, Allahu A'lam. Inshallah, his prayer is good. What I know is the one who performed the prayer like this, he began and the riyah came in the middle of the action and then he finished it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, then his prayer is good. His prayer is good. But what about the reward? The reward is deficient. The reward is deficient. So the portion where he's showing off, he has no reward for that. The portion where he's showing off, he has no reward for that. These are affairs, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 795. He has that great work that we have read from before, Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam, and the explanation of the 40 hadith, actually 50, he added 8 to the 42 of an-Nawawi. And the very first hadith of Umar, and the hadith of an-Niyyah, the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, he mentioned a portion, a fasl in this work of this issue here. And he mentioned the details of these affairs. And this is the foundation of the issues that we discuss here. And it coming from here. And this is what he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And likewise, Shaykhuna Shaykh Sulaiman al-Ruhayri, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, he has also summarized this in more than one situation and clarified the rulings of Riyah. This is the examples that are mentioned. The one who's praying and in the middle of the prayer, he began showing off. And then after that, he threw away the riyah and repented from that and became sincere. And he, during the prayer, he began for the sake of Allah. The riyah came, a portion of the prayer. And then in the end, he completed it for the sake of Allah. This person, his prayer is accepted and his reward is good. And he has the reward for the prayer and the obligation is removed, but the reward will be deficient according to the deficiency in his intention and the portion where he showed off, and the portion where he showed off. We understand that one? We understand that one? There was a proof with regards to the one who the riyah comes to him and he pays no attention to it, or he does not fall into it. And it was from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي مَا حَدَّثَتْ بِهِ أَنفُسَهَا مَا لَمْ تَعْمَلْ أَوْ تَتَكَلَّمْ. That verily Allah, He has pardoned and overlooked that which my ummah speaks to their selves about. Yani the people, yani the Muslims, whenever their souls speak to them. And hadith al-nafs, when he's talking to himself. When he's talking to himself, Allah Azza wa Jal has pardoned this and not held the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accountable for this action here, talking to oneself. So long as they don't act upon it and so long as they don't speak about it. So long as they don't act upon it and so long as they don't speak about it. So here his soul started talking to him about showing off and the likes like this. So long as it continues to be like this, he's talking to himself and it's not an actual intention and it's a suggestion from his soul and from the whispers of shaitan and he did not intend that, then this is something that Allah has pardoned. So long as he did not act upon it and so long as he did not speak about it. And so long as he did not speak about it. Okay, so this is the issue now with regards to the riyah and the different circumstances of the action. What about if a person, he began the action for the sake of Allah and he finished it for the sake of Allah and it was done entirely for the sake of Allah and then after he's finished, he talked about it. After he's finished, he talked about it, showing off. I did this and I did that and I prayed this and I give this charity. And he did that showing off, informing of his deeds with the purpose of showing off. What's the effect of riyah or sum'ah on the action now? We have seen that some of the people of knowledge had considered this to be actually sum'ah, those who made a difference between a riyah and a sum'ah. They mentioned a sum'ah here, and some of the people, or some of the understanding of the people of knowledge, it is to do a deed for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla and then to inform others about it later, showing off, and then to inform others about it later with the intention of showing off. What is the effect of showing off in this action? Does it invalidate it? The people of knowledge, they mention it does not invalidate it. The action is finished. The action is not invalidated. But he's sinning. He's sinning for this. This is a sin. He's sinning at this time, showing off in this manner. But as for the action, it's finished. He did that for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. He did that for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. As for the reward, wallahu alam about the reward. But for example, if he performed an obligatory prayer, or he performed an obligatory charity, and so on and so forth, and then he talked about it, and he bragged about it, and he's showing off about it, he will not have to repeat it again. He will not have to repeat it again. We understand that? So this one, he's sinning. This one is sinning, and it does not invalidate the deed, but rather he should repent. He should repent from that. Any questions with regards to the rulings of Ar-Riya and the actions? Alhamdulillah. We had been reading some benefits from Ibn Qayyim with regards to this chapter, and we close this chapter, inshallah ta'ala, reading some more benefits from the statements of Ibn Qayyim in his book, Madarij al-Sarikin, and Manzila al-Ikhlas, discussing the issue and the level, the status and the deen of al-Ikhlas. What is al-Ikhlas? What is the reality of al-Ikhlas? And how can somebody be sincere? And this is very important to know. And before we begin, al-Ikhlas, it comes from the verb khalusa. Al-Khalasa, and Al-Khalis is the one that is pure. Al-Khalis, linguistically, it means Al-Safi, Al-Naqi. Al-Safi, Al-Naqi, the one that is pure, that's not mixed with anything. Al-Dhahab Al-Khalis is the gold that is pure. It's not mixed with anything. It has absolutely no mixtures with it whatsoever. Something that is considered Khalis, like for example, Al-Laban Al-Khalis, the pure milk. It has no mixtures with it whatsoever. No additions to it whatsoever. It's pure. It's pure. So this is the meaning. And Allah, He says, Ala lillahi ad-deen al-khalis, that the pure deen is for Allah. The deen that is pure, meaning the one that is purified, and the person's intention is entirely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. The meaning of this issue here, al-khalis, and that would help us to understand what is al-ikhlas, yani linguistically, and then to understand what it means, yani legislatively. Yani al-ikhlas, to make something pure, to make something khalis. Akhlasahu ja'alahu khalisan. Akhlasahu ja'alahu khalisan. So Allah Azza wa Jalla in His book, He mentioned about this, about khalis, about being pure, referring to the milk that comes from the cattle. And He mentioned, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa inna lakum fil an'ami al-ibra, that verily in the cattle you have a sign. Verily in the cattle you have a sign. The cattle, like the cows and the camels and the sheep, these are cattle. The an'am, you have a sign in these animals. Allah, He says, Nusqikum mimma fi butunihi min bayni farthin wa damin labanan khalisan sa'igan lisharibin, that we give you to drink from their bellies, coming or proceeding from between feces and blood. Pure milk that is palatable and it is delicious for those who drink. And so this is a sign of the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the power and the authority and the wisdom and knowledge of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He created these animals, these cattle, and inside of their bellies there's milk. Inside of their bellies there's milk, and it's sweet and delicious, and it's beneficial and nourishing. And that milk, it is mixed in the belly with blood, and it is mixed in the belly with feces, akramakum Allah, even to the extent that the people of knowledge, they mentioned that just before it comes out, it comes out in this manner, going through the feces and the blood. It's mixed before it comes out. But whenever it comes out, how does it come out? Labanan khalisan. It comes out pure milk. Whenever the milk comes out, has anybody seen an animal milked before? A camel or a cow or a sheep, it comes out pure, very white, very white. Subhanallah. It comes out pure, literally pure. Lebanon khalisan. There's nothing mixed with it. You do not see a piece of feces, not a small piece, and not even a speck of blood. Nothing do you see there. It comes out pure. This is from the power of Allah and from the mercy of Allah and the grace of Allah upon us, that He created these animals for us and to benefit from. We ride them and we use their hide and we use their meat. And we use the milk, and it's very beneficial. These animals, very beneficial. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He created them, and these are all signs. In wa inna lakum fil an'ami al-ibra, nusqikum mimma fi butunihi min bayni farthin wa damin labanan khalisan sa'igan lisharibin. Yani the proof here is that, or the point, or the shahid, is that this milk, whenever it comes out, it's pure. It comes out. When it comes out, before that it's mixed with feces and blood, but when it comes out, it's pure. This is how the ibadah, it must be. The ibadah, it must be pure. It cannot be mixed with anything. The intention of the worshipper must be pure, like that leaven. The niyyah, niyyah, لابد أن تكون خالصة. It has to be pure. Naqiyah, safiyah. It has to be pure. It can't be mixed with anything else. He can't intend anything from the dunya. He can't intend in his heart, whenever he worships Allah, anything from the dunya. His heart does not want anything but Allah. His heart does not want anything but Allah whenever he's worship. Whenever he's worshiping, if it's prayer, if it's recitation of the Quran, if it's adhkar after salat, if it's adhkar in the morning and the evening, if it's teaching, if it's learning, if it's giving the khutbah, whatever the case it is, if it's an ibadah, al-raja, wal-mahabba, to love for the sake of Allah, man tawadda'a lillah, being humble, and for the sake of Allah, lillah, it all has to be for the sake of Allah with a pure intention, or else it would not be accepted. Or else it would not be accepted with a pure intention. That which is mixed up in the intention, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He will reject that and He will not accept that. Ala lillahi ad-din al-khalis. Labanan khalisan. We understand the linguistic understanding now. And then what is required from a worshipper, what is required from a Muslim whenever he worships Allah, that which is in his heart is khalis. It's khalis for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of the people. His heart is attached to Allah. He does not want anything from the people or anything from the creation. He's hoping for the hereafter. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَكُنْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. Like this, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught, and this is what he defended, and this is what he carried, the banner of Tawheed, and he shut every avenue and closed off every pathway, and he defended it from every aspect with his life sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he died. And he's cursing the Jews and the Christians. اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد. Because they took the graves of their prophets as places of worship. And meaning that this leads. They didn't say that they worshiped the graves. They took the graves of their prophets as places of worship because it leads to shirk. And it leads to the invalidation and the deficiency of a tawheed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would get mad if somebody just mixed it up in the words. Masha Allah wa shitta. Whatever Allah wills and you will. And the Prophet, he'll become angry, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَجَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدًّا بَلْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدًا. Do you make me a peer and a rival with Allah? Rather only what Allah wills. Rather only what Allah wills. So this is the deen of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at ikhlas. Purity of intention. And this is how it will be. He will make his intention sincerely for the sake of Allah. So Ibn Qayyim, he is discussing this affair here. Yani about purity and purifying the intention. And he mentions that ikhlasu tasfiyatu al-amali min kulli shawb. Tasfiyatu al-amali min kulli shawb. That a person, he will purify the action from every defect. From every defect and every deficiency. Anything that would taint the action. He will purify it from that. This is ikhlas. To purify the action from everything that brings deficiency to it. From everything that will make it deficient. He said, أي لا يمازج عمله ما يشوبه من شوائب إرادات النفس. Meaning that his action will not be mixed up. That his action will not be mixed up with anything that would corrupt it or bring deficiency or a defect to it from the desires of the soul. From the desires of the soul. If we pay attention, there's great benefit here. On how to be sincere, that he will purify the action, that he will not mix up his deed with anything. He will not have any addition, like that milk, if it had a drop of blood in it, would one like it and want to drink it? Or say, no, this is impure. If it had a speck of feces in it, would one want to drink it? No, if it had a drop of urine in it, then it would be wasted, it would be spoiled. The milk would be spoiled. So like this, just as the milk, it has to be purified from those specks, and from those drops. Likewise, the tawheed and the intention has to be purified from iradat and nafs, from the desires and the wants and the lust of the heart, of the soul. He says, imma, and now he clarifies some of these, and in detail, some of these iradat, and some of these desires that come to the soul, that will corrupt or taint the intention. He says, imma talabu atazayuni fi qulub al-khalq. Either he will be seeking to beautify himself in the hearts of the people. He will seek to beautify himself and to have an adornment in the hearts of the people. That he will be considered good and he will have a place in the hearts of the people. This is from those affairs that taint the ikhlas. This taints the ikhlas. And then he says, وَإِمَّا طَالَبُ مَدْحِهِمْ وَالْحَرَبِ مِنْ ذَمِّهِمْ. Or else he will be seeking their praise and running from their blame. He will do the action and he will mix it with this intention, either seeking praise from them or fearing blame from them. This is all things that are deficiencies, all things that are defects, all things that are means that taint and corrupt the intention. He says, أَوْ طَلَبُوا تَعْظِيمِهِمْ, or to seek magnification from them and veneration, for them to hold him high in rank and status. أَوْ طَلَبُوا أَمْوَالِهِمْ أَوْ خِدْمَتِهِمْ وَقَضَائِهِمْ حَوَائِجَهُمْ, or else he would do it and mix his intention with seeking the wealth of the people, or seeking for the people to serve him. Doing deeds with this intention, mixing it with this intention, to have money from the people, or wealth from the people, or service from the people, or for them to take care of his needs. أَوْ طَلَبُوا مَحَبَّتِهِمْ لَهُمْ, or he's going to seek the love, seek their love for him, and so that they will love him. He wants them to love him. So he'll mix his intention in his soul. He has intention of these, one of these affairs, or a number of these affairs. These are all defects and things that taint the intention. It's not khalis no more whenever one of these affairs arise in the heart and in the soul. He says you have to purify from that. He says, أَوْ غَيْرُ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْإِلَلِ وَالشَّوَائِبِ أَلَّتِي أَقْدُ مُتَفَرِّقَاتِهَا هُوَ إِرَادَةُ مَا سِوَى اللَّهِ بِعَمَلِهِ كَأِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ. He said, or other than that, from the illnesses and the defects that summarizes all of them and brings them all to a focal point, and all of them, there are many of them. What do they all go back to? إِرَادَةُ مَا سِوَى اللَّهِ. إِرَادَةُ مَا سِوَى اللَّهِ بِعَمَلِهِ كَأِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ, to hope and to intend other than Allah with his deeds, whoever it may be. All of these affairs he mentioned, they all go back to this. And these are just examples. To summarize them, there are many. مُتَفَرِّقَاتْ كَثِيرًا, and it's very many different aspects and avenues. What brings them all together? إِرَادَةُ مَا سِوَى اللَّهِ بِعَمَلِهِ, that he would intend other than Allah with his deed, that he will hope for other than Allah with his action. He would do a deed, and his deed in his heart is hoping for something other than Allah. He has a mixed with that. He's mixing his deed like this with something of hoping for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is considered the issues that corrupt the intention. And a believer, he has to purify his heart from these affairs, and hoping and wanting and desiring the praise of the people, or fleeing their blame, or afraid of what they might say, or they would dislike him, or they will like him, so he performs actions based upon that, or looking for a status and rank with them, or so that they will like him and accept him, or that they will praise him and love him, or that so that he will have acceptance in their society, so on and so forth. All of these are from the deficiencies that corrupt the intention. Also in this work, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that the expressions and the statements of the people of knowledge and the salaf before him, rahimahumullahu jami'an, with regards to the definition of al-ikhlas has differed. But he mentioned that the intent behind all of them is one. And he mentioned a number of the definitions, and we read them. He said, it's been mentioned that ikhlas, it is ifradu al-haqi subhanahu bil-qasdi fi ta'a, to single out the truth, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal, with an intention during actions of obedience. This is one definition. And he said, likewise, it's been mentioned that ikhlas, it is tasfiyatul fi'li an mulahadatil makhluqeen, that a person who would purify his action from turning towards or looking at the creation. And he would turn his action, make his action pure, he would purify from turning towards or looking at or noticing the creation. And he would not notice the creation whatsoever in his action, and it would be sincerely for the sake of Allah. He said another definition, وَتَوَقِّي عَنْ مُلَحَظَةِ الْخَلْقِ, and a person that he will be cautious and afraid from noticing the creation. He will be cautious about that, and he will be frightful about that, and he will be afraid of that. He said after this, likewise, رَحِمَهُ ta'ala, it's been mentioned, من شهد في إخلاصه الإخلاص احتاج إخلاصه إلى إخلاص. He said, Rahimahullah ta'ala, that whoever witnesses in his ikhlas and his sincerity, that it's sincere, then his sincerity needs sincerity. And to say it again in English, the one who witnesses in his sincerity, and his sincerity in his worship, and his purity of intention and worship, the one who witnesses this, that he has sincerity, then his sincerity is in need of sincerity. You understand that? Meaning the one who is sincere, he will never believe that he's sincere. He would always be accusing himself. He will never feel comfortable and say about himself, he's sincere. Rather, he will be accusing himself. The one who is sincere, he will accuse himself. So again, من شهد في إخلاصه الإخلاص احتاج إخلاصه إلى إخلاص. The one who witnesses in his own sincerity that it's sincere and pure, then his purity of intention needs purification. Then his purity of intention needs purification. He says, فنقصان كل مخلص في إخلاصه بقدر رؤية إخلاصه. فإذا سقط عن نفسه رؤية إخلاصه صار مخلصا مخلصا. صار مخلصا مخلصا. He said, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, so the deficiency of every person who is pure, is every person who is sincere, is according to how much he looks at his sincerity. And he considering his own sincerity. Like for example, we go back to the previous chapter. The one who is sincere, and he finds sincerity in his sincerity, now he becomes, in reality, amazed with himself. Oh, I'm so sincere. Oh, my intention is purely for Allah. Like this, he's telling himself this. This is from being amazed with his soul. So he's saying that a person's sincerity is according to the amount, or the deficiency of every sincere person is according to how much he looks into his sincerity. And he considering himself to be sincere. So if sincerity has fallen from his eye, and he does not find himself to be sincere, then he has become now sincerely sincere. And he has been purified. He has been purified. So, and this goes back to a number of affairs, and he didn't mention them here, but this is because when we realize that it's from Allah, if he was sincere, it's not because of his sincerity, it's because of the blessing and the virtue of Allah for him, that Allah gave him success to be sincere. So therefore, he will realize the greatness of Allah and the weakness of his soul again, and he will check himself. And if he was sincere, he would check his sincerity, and he would not claim that he's sincere, and he would not deceive his soul. And if he has some good, he knows that that's the virtue of Allah upon him, and not from his own virtue. He said, Al-Ikhlas has been mentioned likewise, Al-Ikhlas, istiwa'u a'mal al-abdi fi al-zahiri wal-ba'thin. Istiwa'u a'mal al-abdi fi al-zahiri wal-ba'thin. That also from the definitions of ikhlas, or sincerity, is that a person's deeds, they will be the same, in public and in private. In public and private. And he lowers his gaze in public and in private, for example. Some people, they'll lower his gaze like this and seek refuge with Allah whenever he's with his brothers, but whenever he's in private, he does not lower his gaze. Rather, he raises them, and he will stare, and the likes like this. But the one who is sincere, he will do that in public and in private. And this is a sign of sincerity. He said, وَالرِّيَاءُ, showing off, and يَكُونَ ظَاهِرُهُ خَيْرًا مِنْ بَاطِنِهِ. And showing off is whenever what is outwardly apparent is better than what is inside of his soul. To have sincerity is that he's same. Inside and outside, he's same in public and in private. What is inside him and what is displayed is the same. When he's with the people, whenever he's alone. As for showing off, this is whenever he's outwardly good, but inside he's corrupted. And this is from showing off. How is that? Because he's outwardly good, meaning with the people, pretending to be good, but really inside he's not good. So he's only good, lowering his gaze, having good manners, being humble, and the like side is for the people. But whenever he's alone, or whenever he's in different company, amongst the criminals, or amongst the sinners, and amongst the disbelievers, and the like side that, he will turn away from his religion and show no care for that, and he will not be humble, and he will not lower his gaze, and he will not check his tongue, and the like side is whether he will delve in to the foul and vain speech, and talk with those who delve in, whenever he's around the disbelievers, or whenever he's around the foul ones, and whenever he's around these ones, he'll be pious and he'll be upright and he will pretend to lower his gaze. So this is showing off. He's doing it for the people. He says, وَصِدْقُ فِي الْإِخْلَاصِ, and to be truthful in the ikhlas, and يَكُونَ بَاطِنُهُ أَعْمَرُ مِنْ ظَاهِرِهِ. And the one who is truly, he's truthful and loyal with Allah in his ikhlas, then his inside is even better than his outside. And his heart is even better than what he displays. Meaning that even maybe his actions cannot reach that well, but his actions and his heart and his love for Allah is sincere. Even with a deficiency maybe in some of his deeds, in his heart is full of the love of Allah, and full of the fear of Allah, and full of the remembrance of Allah. And he's accusing himself all the time, and he's blaming himself all the time, and he's talking to himself all the time, and he's taking himself to account all the time. Did I do it for the sake of Allah? Was it sincere? Astaghfirullah. Like this, and every mistake and error that he has, he doesn't forget them, or he remembers them, and they bother him, they bother his heart. He's bothered by his sins. He's bothered by his foul manners that he has sometimes with his family, and so on and so forth. These affairs bother him. And because he has sincerity and he's truthful with that. So whenever he's alone, he will recollect and he will take himself into account. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide us all with sincerity and to purify our intention and to guide us to him on a straight path. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.